couple weeks ago, I preached from Acts 27. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I preached a message entitled, Be of Good Cheer. Be of Good Cheer. And this morning, I felt compelled to come back to this same chapter. In this chapter, Paul was on his way to Rome. He had preached Christ, and because of that, the Jews demanded that he be killed. And if you go back, and you don't do it right now, but if you go back and you read Acts chapter 26, you'll see that he stood before the Roman governor Festus, that he stood before the Jewish king Agrippa, and gave his testimony, preached Christ to them. And they basically said, hey, unless he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we might let him go. But because in a previous trial he had appealed to Caesar, they delivered him, early in the chapter it tells us, to a centurion, a Roman centurion named Julius. And under guard, on a boat, he was on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar. This boat was going across the Mediterranean Sea, and as Brother Chuck read about in verse 14, a storm comes up. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. They did the same thing we do. They gave their hurricanes names. And they were in a sailboat. Big boat, but had sails, maybe some oars. And it doesn't really matter what kind of boat you're in. When you're in the middle of a hurricane with the wind blowing, a tempestuous wind, your life was in danger and the storm threatened to destroy them. Many in this room this morning, and some that are not, but that we know about, are still in the middle of a storm. It may have brewed for a little while, or it may have come up suddenly like this storm did. But some in our congregation feel like they're in the middle of a small boat, or in a small boat, in the middle of a hurricane. You're holding on for dear life, wondering if you're going to make it another day, wondering if the storm will ever end. And today, I want to preach a two-part message. The first part I've entitled Lessons from the Storm. And tonight I want to preach on the subject, how to make it through the storm. And again, if you can at all come back tonight, I hope you will. But there's four things that I think that we can learn from this storm that's recorded in Acts chapter 27 that teaches us lessons that we need to remember. Number one, we don't get to decide if and when the storm comes. We don't get to decide if and when the storm comes. Paul didn't. I mean, he had a desire to go to Rome. He had a desire to preach the gospel there, just like he had in Jerusalem. He had several of his companions with him. And many people think that he'd already won the centurion to Christ because of how kindly he was treated by the centurion. There were 276 people on this ship, and they didn't get together and have a vote and cast a ballot and say, hey, let's have a hurricane. They didn't caucus and get together in groups and pray and say, God, we've all decided, we've all voted, we'd like you to send a storm. The Bible says that there arose a storm after they got into the ship, and they didn't get to decide that they were going to be there that day on the Mediterranean Sea. They didn't get to decide that they were going to be in a ship in the middle of a hurricane. It just came up, and they were in it. Joseph didn't get to vote about whether his brothers would sell him into slavery or not. He didn't get to vote if he'd be separated from his family for a number of years. Job didn't get to vote when all of his animals were killed or stolen. He didn't get to vote when all his children were killed. He didn't get a vote even when his wife taunted him and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And in the same way, storms come to us and we don't get to vote. Ray and Kate didn't get a vote when Mac was taken to heaven. Martha didn't get a vote when Larry and Bev didn't get a vote when she got cancer. You didn't get to vote when you lost a little baby. You didn't get to vote when your mom or dad passed away at a young age. You didn't get to vote when your health turned bad. You didn't get to vote when your parents divorced. First lesson we can learn from the storm is that we don't get to vote if or when the storm comes. They just come. Now listen, I know sometimes storms come into our lives because of disobedience. That's what happened in Lot's life. He disobeyed God, made some wrong choices, and all sorts of terrible things happened in his life. I'm not talking about those kind of storms this morning. I'm talking about storms that come into people's lives that are trying to do right, that are trying to serve God, and they come up all of a sudden without any warning. You don't get to vote. You don't get to decide. You can talk to God about it, but when the storms come, they come. Second thing I would point out to you this morning, that it's work to hang on in the storm. Chuck read it a moment ago. Verses 15 and 16. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Paul said when this storm came up, it wasn't easy. It's not easy hanging on to the boat in the middle of a storm. In the middle of the storm, you don't sit in your deck chairs putting copper tone on your legs sipping lemonade. You're holding on for dear life. And if you're helping the captain and the crew, like I think Paul was in this ship, then you're working with all of your strength and all of your might just to survive, just to make it the next hour. Just to make it the next day. Go talk to Kate sometime. Ask her how hard it is from day to day sometimes just to put one foot in front of the other one when your teenage boy is in heaven. Go talk to Martha someday. She'll tell you, I have good days and I have bad days. But every day is a struggle. Talk to Larry. Talk to Bev. Every day it's a new challenge. Every day it's a new crisis. It's work to hang on in the storm. And I say that for one reason this morning. Let's be good to people in the storm. The last thing that they need to hear us say is, I know how you feel. I'm sorry. I don't know how they feel, and I don't think you do either. I don't know how it feels to have a teenager go to heaven. I don't know how it feels to have a spouse that sometimes doesn't know who you are or who he is or where he lives. I don't know what it is to have a wife that gets weaker and weaker and weaker every day. And I'm so glad when I was talking to Bev a week ago, Saturday, when she was in the hospital. She says, you just wouldn't believe how good everybody has been to me, how kind they've been in the times they've called me and in the cars they've sent. And I just said to myself, amen, glory to God. That's the way it should be. We ought to be good to people that are going through the storm. But I want to tell you something else this morning. There's people in this room who are sitting a few pews from you. They have a smile on their face, and you ask them, how are you doing? And they say, I'm doing well, thank you. And they are in the middle of a storm that nobody knows anything about. I know about some of them only because I'm their pastor, and they share more things with me than they do everybody else. But there's people sitting here this morning, and I can look at them, and they can smile, and they can sing. But when they get in the car to go home, they weep because there's a storm raging in their life. And so this morning, let me just say, let's just be good to everybody because we don't know who's going through the storm and who isn't. Let's just be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Let's just be good to them and treat them with kindness and treat them with love. Don't tell them you know exactly how they feel. Don't tell them that they're a Christian and all things work together for good. Don't tell them it's God's will. All of that may be true, but that doesn't bring much comfort when you can't keep a glass of water down or when your husband doesn't know who you are. Let's just treat them good. Let's treat everybody good, because everybody could be going through a storm. Number three, storm teaches us or causes us to reevaluate what's important. Verses 18 and 19, "And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." When the storm came, all the things that they thought were important when they started the voyage were no longer important. That new rope that helped the sails up wasn't important anymore. The new tackling that the captain bought with pride and hung on the deck was thrown overboard. In our day and age, you might take the depth finder and the radar and all the toys that we have on boats. And when the storm comes, you realize that the things that were important aren't so important anymore. You know, time makes that happen. That's why we have garage sales. You go to a mall and you see something and you say, "I've got to have that. I just can't live without it." And you pay $40 for a t-shirt that's got a check mark on it. Or you pay $100 for a pair of tennis shoes that light up and play jingle bells when you walk in them. And then a few months later, they're sitting on a table in a garage with a price tag of $1 on them. Or 50 cents. Or 40 cents. You see, time causes us to reevaluate what's important. What storms do is they compress that time. And in the middle of a storm, the thing that you thought you could not live without, you realize it's not important. It's not important. And then number four, the storm causes us to realize that our main mission in life is to help those that are in the boat with us reach shore safely. The storm causes us to realize that our main mission in life is to help those that are in the boat with us to help them reach shore safely. Chuck didn't read it, but I want to read a couple verses later on down in the chapter, verses 37 and 38. "And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." I want to point out to you this morning that this boat that Paul was on wasn't a passenger liner. It was a cargo ship. And its main purpose was to move cargo from point A to point B. On this particular voyage, the main purpose was to take a load of wheat from this city to this city, so that wheat could be sold and a profit could be made, and the owner of the boat and the captain of the boat and the crew of the boat could be paid and make money and provide for their families. That was the main mission of this voyage. It wasn't to transport these prisoners. It wasn't to transport Paul to Rome. I mean, that's what it was doing on the side. But the main mission, the main objective of that ship, of the ship owner and of the captain, was to transport that wheat from where it was grown to where it could be sold for a profit to make money. And when the storm came and the ship needed to be lightened, the captain threw off all the tackling and all the parts of the ship that he didn't really need. And the storm went on for a little while longer, and the captain came to the realization that the ship has to be lightened more. And so he gave the order to the crew and to every person that was on the boat, "Throw overboard the wheat, cast out the wheat." And I'm sure some of the crew came to him and said, "But Captain, that's our cargo. That's why we left court. That's how we're going to get paid. That's how we're going to make money for this trip, is to transport this wheat. And if we throw the wheat overboard, we won't make any money. And the captain says, it doesn't matter. When the storm comes, the main mission in life is not to make money. It's to help those that are in the boat with you make it safely to shore. Every single person here has a mission in life. And that's good. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you have some goals. I'm glad you have some objectives. When I was younger, I had some objectives. I still have some dreams, but they're different than when I was younger. When I was younger, I wanted to make $1 million. I wanted to be able to retire when I was young. I wanted to be able to have all the toys that I saw some of my friends have, like cars and motorhomes and boats and all those things. And there, by the way, there's nothing wrong with those things. Don't take me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those things. And if you have them, I'm not preaching against you this morning. Don't misunderstand me. But I had dreams like that. I had goals like that. But when the storm comes, you realize that your main mission is not to make money. It's not to gather all the toys that the world has to offer. It's not even to secure a retirement where you don't have to worry, although I think that's a worthy goal and you ought to work for that. But that's not your main mission in life. Your main mission in life is to help those that are in the boat with you make it safely to shore. You say, preacher, who's in the boat with me? The people sitting beside you, your husband, your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, those that you come to church with, those that you live next to, those that you work with, your friends, those that you belong to clubs with, or those that you bowl with, or those people that you come in contact with, they're in the boat with you. And our main mission in life is not to make a lot of money so that we can enjoy all the material things of the world, so that we can retire securely and never have a worry. Those are worthy goals. But listen, folks, that's not the main goal. When the storms of life come and you're realizing you're hanging on for dear life, you realize that our main mission in life is to help those in the boat with us make it safely to shore. And the only way they're going to make it safely to shore is to meet the master of the sea. The only way they're going to make it safely to shore is meet the one whose death, burial, and resurrection we celebrated this morning in the Lord's Supper. I think of that song we sing sometimes, 212. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply, stained within, sinking to rise no more. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's exactly your condition. You're a sinner. You're sinking deeper and deeper into sin. You have no hope. The only thing that you can do this morning that'll make a difference is cry out to God. That song goes on to say, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, Christ lifted me. When nothing else could help, Christ lifted me. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. The only way, look, you're in a boat with me. You're in a boat with us this morning. Our main mission is not to have a beautiful building, although I praise God that we have a place to meet. And we're going to keep it looking good. But look, folks, our main mission is not this building. Our main mission is not how it looks. Our main mission is to tell people about Jesus to keep them out of hell. That's our main mission. That's what we ought to be focused about. That's what we ought to talk about. That's what we ought to worry about. It's keeping people out of hell. And if that person sitting next to you, who's part of your family, who's in the same boat with you every single day, doesn't know Christ as their Savior, then your main mission is to get them to Jesus. Your main mission is to make sure you do everything you can to get them safely to shore. And Jesus is the only way that's going to get them safely to shore. Lessons from the storm. You don't get to decide when the storm comes. It's work hanging on. So let's be good to each other, because all of us may be in a storm. It causes us to look at our priorities. If one thing that what happened on September 11th has caused more people to do than any other thing I know in recent history, is to look at what's important in their life and to make some different decisions. And in our materialistic world that we have to live in, let's remember that God didn't put us on this earth to make money. He put us on, and by the way, I'm not against you making money. I hope you make lots of money, because we want your tithe. But that's not our main mission. That's not our main mission. Our main mission is to go out and to tell people about Jesus. And your main mission as a mom or a dad is to tell your children about Jesus. And your main mission as a grandpa or grandma is to tell your grandchildren about Jesus. And your main mission as a neighbor is to tell your neighbor about Jesus. And your main mission as a worker is to tell that person that works in the next cubicle or next to you on the line about Jesus. And our main mission, and we're reminded of this in the middle of the storm, our main mission is to help them get to shore. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're a sinner. The penalty for that sin is separation from God forever. When Christ died on the cross, He paid the penalty for your sin. And He offers to every single person that's here a free gift called salvation. And if you'd simply come and take it, He'll wipe away all your sins, give you His righteousness, make you right with God, give you a home in heaven. And so, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, I would invite you to come in just a second. We'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to receive Jesus as your Savior. And you that are here today that know Christ, I would ask you, as I'm sure you have in the past few days, what's your main mission in life? What are you doing to bring others to Christ? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this simple truth from your word. And I pray, Father, that if there is somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that right now they would decide to receive Christ. They'd quit trying to do it on their own. They'd quit trying to get right with you some other way. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh to the Father but through Him. And so this morning I pray you'd help them make that decision to come to Christ, to find the peace and the joy and the security that we have in our Savior. And then, Father, most folks that are here this morning are Christians. We know what it is to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know what it is to have an eternity promised us in heaven. There's people in the boat with us that don't know that. I pray that we wouldn't let the priorities of the world stop us from doing what you left us here to do. I pray, Father, that we would be a witness to every person that we come across every day of our life, and we could share Christ with them. If there's those here that need to reevaluate those priorities, Father, then I pray you'd help them do that this morning and make some holy vows to you. Bless the invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.